Blog Talk Radio.
Even when I'm riding down. what a great praise and worship song. Holy Spirit, I need you to fall fresh on me this morning. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hey, he'll do it. He'll do it. Hallelujah. I begin to sing that thing, and I begin to feel the Spirit flowing. Oh, it's all right today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I thank Sister Samoa so much for this song. She gave it to me a while back, and I hadn't played it in a while. My daughter comes. She said, have you heard this? I said, yes, I have. And I said, Lord, I'm just going to keep this because this is a beautiful praise and worship song. Yeah, we need the Spirit of God fresh and anew on us daily. Yeah, renew me in you daily, Lord Jesus. Father, renew us daily in you in the name of Jesus. Yeah, we want to walk according to your Spirit. We want to walk in your Spirit. This way we won't fulfill the lust of our flesh. Hallelujah. The flesh can sit down somewhere because the Spirit, I've allowed him to take over. And he's ruling and reigning in my life. Hallelujah. He's leading and guiding me in the right path. Yeah, he's showing me the right way to go. He's telling me the right things to do, the right things to listen to, the right things not to hear. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your Spirit this morning, Father. Hallelujah. We're grateful unto him. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God made this day. It's a good day. What comes during the day sometimes is not so good. But we yet have a risen Savior that's on our side. He's for us today. Hallelujah. The Heavenly Father sent him for us. Ah, yeah. He so loved us that he made him the mediator between us and God, that our petitions can get to heaven. Hallelujah. Our petitions can get to the Father who have all power. Yeah, Jehovah God is waiting. Hallelujah. For that mediator, his son Jesus, to bring the petitions of man to him. I'm so grateful for that this morning. Jesus, take it to the Father. And see, I believe because his only begotten son bring it, not only is he going to hear, but he's going to answer. Because his son thought your prayers was worth him bringing. Your situation was worth him bringing to the Father. Ah, yeah. And we trust him today. Hallelujah. We trust him today. And we're thankful unto him. We appreciate him. We love him today. Yeah, without him, we realize we can do absolutely nothing. God, I need you to show me the way with this. Lord, I need you to take care of this because I can't. Hallelujah. So we thank the Lord this morning for all he has done already, what he's doing right now, hallelujah, and what he's going to do. Great and mighty things, great and mighty things. So today we want to talk about the 2000s, the changes that came about. It started really in the 1900s, and I'm speaking for our generation that we get to see some traumatizing things. We get to be a part of some stuff that we never thought would come our way, but we get to see it. And we get to see how quickly man jump on evil and how man likes evil, how he likes what's raunchy, what's dirty, what's filthy, what's evil. It can't get filthy enough for man. It can't get evil enough for man. And if we look over in Psalms 51, David talks about, in sin did my mother conceive me. If we look back at Noah, God was telling, you know, saying that, no, I can't strive with man. I'm going to have to cut him off. Man's heart is evil, even the intent of his heart is evil, and it don't get better, but it gets worse. And today, we don't want to be caught up into that. We don't want to be an evil people. We don't want to be a people chasing after what's wrong. We don't want to hear about filthiness. Yeah, evil doings. I remember a lot of shows came out, and Tyler Perry had a bunch of them where one I remember in particular, The Family That Prays Together. Y'all remember that? The Family That Prays, where the girl was committing adultery on a good husband. That man was trying to make better for her. And her mother had a little restaurant, but her mother was a millionaire, and she was friends with this lady, Cartwright, or Boatwright, or something. I think it was Cartwright. And the daughter just couldn't help herself. She just wanted to do more evil. And the man she was cheating on her husband with, he was a board member for the mother company. And he could look this man in his face and shake his hands and talk to him, and had evil in his heart against this man already cheating with his wife. People love that kind of stuff. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear about it. Because what people fail to realize, if it was you, how would you feel? If you was in love with your husband or in love with your wife and you found out they were cheating, and the person they were cheating with laughed in your face, pretended to like you, and they were going to help you as much as they could with whatever, what they call it, let's just say situation you had. You was trying to open a business or you was trying to do something positive. And all they act like they was forced. Let me look into that. Not going to look into nothing. Because I'm doing evil against you. I don't even like you. I like your wife. I like your husband. You see? How would you feel? I don't want to see that. Because I know how I would feel. Yeah, I would be hurt over that. And then the wife coming telling you one day, oh, you'll never be him. Him who? Who's trying to compete with him? I'm not trying to compete with him. I'm sure that's what a husband would be thinking. You're my wife. Why are you comparing me to this man? You know? But people can't get enough evil. The filthier it is, the better they like it. The more raunchy it is, the better they like it. Yeah. The more evil in it, the better they like it. So the 1900s started some stuff, and by the time we got to the 2000s, it was already in progress, and we're at 2022. Ooh, boy. Oh, Yeah. So we're going to talk about some stuff, and there's nothing new under the sun. So we're not the first people that get to see this. I've heard someone say history repeats itself, but the scripture says there's nothing new under the sun. So this is coming around again. And it may fade out, but it's coming back worse and worse. I see some women with the hairstyle, and they think that's the first time this hairstyle ever been out. No, your great-great-great-grandmama wore that style. Yeah. Your great-great-great-granddaddy wore that style. And then it's not too far back. Sometimes it's just the great-grandparents who had that style. I see shoes out of the 1920s. Matter of fact, I have a pair. Had them for years. I bought those shoes in the early 2000s. And I think people think it's a new fashion. But look how long I had them since the early 2000s. Around 2002, 2003, and we're at 2022 now. What's that, like 17 years ago or so, 16 years ago? And look, nothing new under the sun. Any suit I wear, it's a dress shoe. Any suit I wear that shoe with, it just blend right in. And it just looked like the fashion of today. Yeah. Yeah. So we want to talk about changes because changes are good. It depends on what's being changed. God said for us to change. He wants us to grow, but he wants us to grow in him. The changes that we should accept are changes according to him, changes that will please him, changes that will satisfy him, changes that he can accept. All changes are not good changes. Anybody ever heard all money is not good money? Yeah, all changes are not good changes. And many of us, we sit back and we just allow change to come. We never say anything. And today we, as believers or church folks or whatever you call yourself, we don't want to say nothing about nothing because it's going to start something. Greater is he that lives within me than he that is in the world. He said to cry loud and spare not. Now, this is what he said. It's not what I said. And if I obey him, he's got my back. If I have to go through a few trials, tribulations, it's okay because he yet got my back. If I die, obeying him to be absent from this body is to be present with him. We need to wake up on the change. Somebody told me, they said, well, in the 2000s, you don't want to ruffle the feathers of the government in no kind of way. You don't want to ruffle the feathers of the White House in any kind of way because you could find yourself dead. Yeah, somebody told me that. Oh, they'll kill you. He said, cry loud and spare not. And sometimes God keeps you small for a reason. He don't let you get all the way out there, you know, like other people. You're just a household name. Your name brand, he don't do that. Because of this, he got a work for you to do, and it's not for everybody. Is Jesus come to save the world? He didn't send Barbara to save the world. He have people that he has assigned to me and assigned me to them. He has strangers even that I'm going to pass by them and witness to them and keep going. I may never see them again. He didn't call me to everything and everybody, but he did call me to cry loud and spare not. His word, the gospel, the good news. And the good news is this, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe on him won't perish, but have everlasting life. That's good news. The good news is this, that Jesus suffered. He bled, hung, died, conquered all, and rose with all power. That's good news for us. He did it for us that we could have a right to the tree of life. That one day we could go back with him when he comes. And not just that, not just that. But Jesus, he comes that we might have life and have it more abundantly. See, it's not just about going back with him when he comes, but it's about how we live here now. What are we doing here now? Every time you turn around, I'm bringing something new that I'm trying to get done. I'm still taking my Spanish lessons. I've learned a few things. I've learned a few words. I've learned this. Como te llamas? Como te llamas? And what that is saying, now in Spanish, my answer to that would be, me llama Barbara. Mijama Barbara. My name is Barbara. It's asking me, what's my name? And my answer is, my name is Barbara. But listen, even in that, I'm doing something different all the time. He expects us to grow. He expects us to experience things. And we can't be afraid of life. My life is hid in him. And I'm to never allow anything. Look at him through a Taco Bell. I'm never supposed to allow any of this to take over me. My change. I can be a part of the change. I'm learning to speak Spanish. I'm actually learning. Even the ABCs, the alphabets, I should say, of Spanish. A, B, C, A, B, C, C, Da. A, F, A. Look at this. Hey, Archie. E, Hota. Look at this. Ka, L, A, L, A, M, A, N, A, N, A, A, O, P, Q, R, A. Look. C, T, U, V, W, A, K. Igreja. Zeta. Ah, look at that. Change. Change. I put my mind to it and decided to learn it. Put my mind to it and decided to do dombe. All kind of things. Learn to play the keyboard. I'm 65. And if I tell myself it's over, well, you done retired, that's it for you, Bob. Ain't nothing else you can. All you haven't done, you won't do. The devil is a fool and a liar. Change is good. It's just depending on what kind of change. What kind of change? Yeah. Let's pray this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. Thank you for waking us up this Tuesday morning, clothing our right minds. Father, we thank you for the use and activity of our limbs. We thank you for our life, our health, and our strength. We thank you this morning that you sent your son, Jesus, and he come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Yet, Lord, our new life in you, for if any man be in Christ, Father, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So this new life is hid in you. And Father, we can walk upright before your death, that we can obey your word, that we can keep our mind on you, that we can pray without ceasing. We can always pray and not faint. We thank you this morning for your word, Father, for your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. Hallelujah. Forever, oh God, thank you, Lord, thank you. That word is settled in heaven. And Father, we want to be word walkers. We want to walk according to your word. We want to walk in your spirit that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. Change is good, Father, and we thank you for change. But Lord, we want to accept the right changes, just not any and every old change, but God, what you change. We want to accept what you allow in the name of Jesus. We're your people. You made us for your pleasure. You know all about us. You made man from the ground. You took woman out of the rib of the man. And Lord, it was for your pleasure. You said it was good what you made. So Father, we need you today that you stir up the good in us. Stir up our hearts and minds. Let us find a mentor, God, that we follow according to your heart, after your heart, oh God. Not just any and every old body, but somebody that will always draw us closer unto you in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would move here today in a mighty way. That God, you would let your anointing flow right here today in a mass way, God, in a big way. Touch your people today. Heal, God. Heal their hearts, heal their minds, heal their bodies in the name of Jesus. Anything that's not like you today, Father, we ask that you would cast it away from us. We're asking all of this in the name of Jesus. But Father, we know that he's going to bring our petition to you. And we believe you to answer, Father. We're asking Jesus, the mediator, to bring our petition before you, the Father. And that, Lord, you would hear us and that you would answer us today. Your word said all things must work together for our good. You called us, some you called and chose. And, Lord, many of us, we're doing the very best that we can. And we can't do nothing without you. We need your help this morning. And God, we will walk upright before you daily and do what's pleasing and acceptable unto you. We love you this morning. We've never experienced a love like your love. And Lord, we're not sure that we're loving you enough and that we even have the right kind of love for you. For you alone is love. For God is love today. And Lord, we want to love in the way that you love. We want to love you with our whole hearts, sincerely, oh God. Not because of stuff and things. Not because of what you can do for us. But Father, you're more than worthy of our love. We ask that you would move this morning in our hearts and minds concerning you and your word. Heal this flesh, God. Heal us spiritually. And let us become more powerful spiritually than naturally. Let us teach us, Father, how to bring this flesh under subjection. And let your spirit live in us. Let us die so you can live in us. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning. We give you glory. We give you honor. And we give you praise. We ask this morning that, Father, you would bless every caller and every listener. Bless their families. Bless their friends near and far. Father, I ask this morning that you would bless married people. God, I ask that you would unite these people like never before, back to the first day that they met each other, what drew them together, and Lord, what encouraged them to marry. Lord, if it was love, I ask that you would reunite the love between man and woman today, oh God, that you put together in marriage in the name of Jesus. Some people just obeyed you, Lord, because it's better to marry than to burn, and they wanted their own husband or their own wives. Move today in a mighty way in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Move for families, God. Reunite relationships. Feel like never before. The family, it appears, have grown apart. The enemy come in and set things in place to run the man away from the woman and the children, oh God. But Lord, you know what's best. You know how to fix the hearts and minds of men. Do it today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Many suffered, God. Many are suffering because the man has been pushed out of the home. But Lord, you know how to bring him back. You know how to heal hearts and minds again today. Do it in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, because we can't. We don't know how. And again, without you, we can do nothing. Help this America. Help these United States of America. Lord, you see what has gone on for hundreds of years. But we know you're able to fix it. But God, it all starts with fixing the hearts and minds of your people. Or do it today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. For Father, you wish none should perish. And even in this country, the United States of America, many things have been done that's against you. Not so much against man, but as it is against you. Because you bless man to endure. But Father, we know you're able this morning, and we ask that you would do it for your glory. Do it that you'll be lifted up in the earth in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would heal those that are sick here. Heal today, oh God, you know what they're going through. Lord, we know you're the God that can perform surgery without a knife, hallelujah, without a scalpel, without any medical tools. We know that you're able this morning, and we ask that you would do it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Touch this morning. You heal all manner of sickness and disease. There's nothing too hard for you to do, Father. I'll move by your spirit this morning according to your word to God in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would bless those that are incarcerated. I'll move by your spirit for them. Bless the brethren and sisters there. Lord, is trying to walk upright before you and be an example before others, that they would draw, you would be able to use them to draw men unto you in the prisons, in the jails, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we ask this morning that God, you would bless those that are in every branch of the military. Father, loose your protecting angels to stand watch, to shield and protect your people there from all hurt, harm, or danger. Bless the administration of the military, Father. Lord, help their hearts and minds. Bless the leadership of this country. Have mercy upon them, O God, and give them the right mind, God. Renew the right spirit within them today. The Lord, they would do things according to your word, that you would give them wisdom, O God. In the name of Jesus. Not their own wisdom, but your wisdom, Father, in the name of Jesus. Pray for our brothers and sisters overseas, Father. Lord, we ask that you would loose your protecting angels to stand watch, to shield and protect them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Bless their going out and their coming in. Meet the need in their lives today according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Lord, many can't even open the Bible. They can't mention the Bible. They can't mention Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you would move for these your people in a mighty way. Bless Israel and Jerusalem today. Move for them in a mighty way, Father. Loose your protecting angels for them, the Ukraine, God, wherever our brothers and sisters are and they need protection, do it today. Father, bless your people overseas. Move by your spirit for them, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Open financial doors for them. Let them be able to take care of their families, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Help right now, this morning, oh Lord. Help this morning, God. Oh, none of us can do anything without you. Help us to look to the hills from which cometh our help. All of our help comes from you. Father, you made the heavens and the earth. Bless these United States of America, we ask again. Lord, remember your people here that are lifting you up, your people here that are seeking after the things of you in the name of Jesus. And Father, many are sick of church. Father, they are sick of the same thing, the same way. Lord, they're seeking you and your way and the things of you. Send your wisdom, oh God. Wisdom is a principal thing. Lord, do it for your glory today. That we come out with great testimonies unto you. That, Father, we'll lift you up in the earth, that you would draw even more unto you. That, God, we, your people, would glorify you. Praise and worship you like never before. Believe you. Keep the faith in you. Trust you. Refuse to let you go. Help us right now in the name of Jesus. But Father, we know that we can go to bed tonight and wake up tomorrow in any bad situation, war, all kind of stuff. It's like the sky is falling. Lord, we know that these things can happen. So God, we trust you and we keep our petitions before you because it's you that's keeping us safe. Help us to remember not to get caught up into this world and stuff and things and money and all of this. But God, remember that without you, the earth wouldn't stand. And Lord, we want to be more candle holders with a brighter light that sit on the hill that can't be hid. We want to give more flavor, more savor to the earth according to your word, according to your will. Do it in us and through us today in the name of Jesus. We don't want to be a selfish people coming to you for what we can get. But today we ask not only what our God can do for us, but Father, what is it we can do for you in the name of Jesus? Help us all, Father. Time is winding up. Time is winding up. And Father, it may not be that you return. It may be that we leave here. It's our time to take our rest. And Lord, we want to get everything in order and get things right with you. And we're crying out to you this morning, Father, for your help because we can't do it. We need you to get the spots and wrinkles out of us. Show us, give us the wisdom to get the spot and wrinkles out of us. That, Lord, when you return, we'll be ready. If we go to sleep, we're ready when we wake up to meet you. Help us this morning. But, Lord, we know this is real. We know that you're real. Help us today in the name of Jesus. All we need you, Father, we can't make it without you. Bless intercessory prayer, people praying for others. Father, bless preachers everywhere, preaching in the name of Jesus, in obedience unto you and love for your people. Not trying to make a name for themselves, not trying to show out, but because they love your people, they wish that none should perish. Lord, they want you to use them. Send your fresh anointing that it would draw unto you in the name of Jesus. Thank you this morning. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. Father, money answers all things. And those that stand in the need of finance, I ask this morning in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, you would open every financial good door unto them. Lord, if you send it, it's good because you give good gifts. Hallelujah. Open every financial door, Father. for your people this morning. In the name of Jesus, oh, move in a mighty way today for us, spiritually, naturally, hallelujah, and mentally, oh God. Move by your spirit in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning. Bless this segment of Jesus in the morning. Have your way here today, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We want to praise you. We want to bless your name. We want to lift you up in the earth. Hallelujah. Oh, we just want to love you, Lord, and show you that we love you. Do it through us today. Let us show you love. Let us ask again, not what you can do for us, Father, but what is it we can do for you? You've been good to us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. Father, you're always there, and you'll be there until the end. I'll move by your spirit today upon us all. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. And Father, we give you the praise. We ask it all again this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you for carrying the petition. Hallelujah. We thank you. Huh? Thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, we give you glory. Hallelujah. Thank you for what you're doing in this hour for us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's none like you. Let me tell you, the more we see out here, the closer we need to get to God. The more we see out here, the more we need to speak to get it right with him. Yeah. Time is winding up. I'm telling you, there's some changes even coming about we've never seen before. And you've heard me say we got to get it right with him, because what's coming our way, we're not ready. If you're not in him, you won't make it. Yeah, if you're not in him and he's not in you for real, we won't make it. We can't have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof and make it. We got to have Jesus. Hallelujah. Leaning and depending and trusting him daily. And not just for our family. We can't be selfish. Yeah, we want to do for our family. We want to do for our church, our ministry. No, it's got to go out. He said to love, not as the world loves, because you know they love their own. But we got to love strangers. Huh? Hey, glory. We got to be concerned about others. I got to be concerned that you're paying your bills every month. Your bills are getting paid. Even with the men, I got to pray for them that, Lord, they take care of their families. Because it's a heavy burden on a man when he loves his family and he can't take care of them. And the ones who walked away from the family didn't want it. I pray that they're able to be blessed to pay enough child support to take care of the children, to take care of the woman that they left behind. Because, see, they don't think once they leave her, she's not good enough no more to take care of. But you left her with your responsibility. You didn't take the children with you. You left them with her. See, it's a lot got to be fixed. Even among those that say they are believers, even among those men that say we go to church every Sunday and we believe, but they try and escape paying to take care of children, paying to take care of the woman that's taking care of the children. Because if something happened to her or she don't have what she needs, your children gonna suffer. But they don't understand. They think it's all about, as the movie say, the Benjamins. They think it's all about the dollar bills. No. It go beyond that. That's why I'm asking God to open up the wisdom of man. That means the generic term, men and women. Open up their wisdom. Because, see, we've been praying for everything else but wisdom. And we need God to open up our wisdom so we can understand, so we can see and understand what's really needed. Many times it's not really money, it's love. It's not always money, it's understanding, it's wisdom. It's not always money. It's, I need to think along these lines. Mama took care of me when I was a girl, when I was a boy. It's time for me to take care of her. It's not time for me to keep running to mama taking from her, but it's time for me to give back to my mama who took care of me. Even if there was problems in the family, it's not time to run away from the family. It's time to run to the family in love, and let's see if we can pray and ask God to mend these things that broke the family. Because the devil came and he put some things in place to run the man out of the house. And you've heard me say men are not like women. No, they are not. I've seen it with my own eyes. I felt it. I've been there. Yeah. I see my son, he fell down and I'm over there. Oh, come on, baby. You hurt. You got a boo-boo. The man, he come and said, boy, get up and come on here. He got, look here. That's a boy. He gonna get tougher than that. Stop bathing him. Leave him alone. Come on, son. Men are different from women. I'm over here crying because my girlfriend had an accident. And all she did was scraped up her arm. No broken bones, no disc out of place in her back, no neck, no trauma, no nothing. She just scraped up her arm. And because we see the white under the skin and the red and it, you know, it's bleeding a little bit, or we falling apart. The man will come back there and say, come on, honey, come on. Come on out of here. Now, if you want to go with the rescue, you can. But if you want us to drive you to the hospital so they can check you out, we can do that. Because I really don't think you walking good and everything. It's a nice little scrape on your arm, but they can clean that and fix that and tell you what to do for that. Yeah, that's how the man thinks. Oh, my goodness, girl, look at your arm. Oh, get it to the doctor. Get it to the rescue. Oh, take it to the emergency. No man is doing all of that. Women does that. Look, they could be shooting up the street. And he said, hold up, don't go up there. Don't go up that way. Just stay right here. I'm like, I need to get away. No, you don't need to get away. They're shooting up there. And you don't have to go up there. Just wait right here. Just wait right here. Men are different than women. So we need to pray for men. Are we praying? I'm not talking about your man alone. I'm not talking about just the father of your children. All men. I'm not talking about just black men, white men, Asian. All men need prayer. Because the devil come against them. He come to kill, steal, and destroy. And if he got the man, he got something. He got our strength. Men are stronger than women. The scriptures say that the women are the weaker vessel. So that means men are stronger. Yeah. And we need the strength. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So listen, we're going to one more request of the morning. And then when we come back, we're coming back with our scripture reading. And we're going from there. Hold on. I know what I had for you today. Hold on 1 minute. Hold on. When we come back, we're coming back with Bishop Clarence McClendon. And his message is, it's time to produce the evidence. See, because so much has been going on in the 2000s. So much going on and all kind of stuff, but we need to seek God so that we can get what he said he got for us. Because many of us are going through in the earth. Because we're not seeking God for his blessings. And we're not seeking his word to see what the blessings are. Hallelujah. So look, let me go to this one, and when we come back, we're coming back with Bishop Clarence McClendon. It's time to produce the evidence. Listen good today. Hallelujah. He got a message for you. He got a message for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we can't make it without you, Lord.
for God. Shine a light on me. Open up my eyes so I can see. When I look up in the darkest night, then I know everything is gonna be alright. In deep confusion, in great despair, when I reach out for help, he is there. When I am lonely as I can be, and I know that God shines His light on me. Reach out for help, reach out for help. He'll be there.
He'll be there.
What time your trouble?
Within your trouble.
You can share.
You can share.
If you love,
if you love,
life you love,
life you love,
you get the blessing,
yeah,
from above,
from above.
Heals the sick, yeah, he heals the lame. Says you can do it too, in Jesus' name. Put your feet back on higher ground.
You've heard the words since you were in Sunday school. You have heard these professors remind you of them, both in words of warning as well as words of encouragement, and maybe even a few testimonies. A counselor, a friend, a minister of music, whatever capacity you'll serve in, on mission field or here at home, you'll use these two words. And they are, trust God. Two single syllable words that you have heard forever, but you will discover as time passes how difficult they are to obey. Trust God. Of course, I have no way of knowing what the future holds for you. You may lose your home and everything in a fire. You may lose your spouse to an early disease, detected but not cured. You may lose your dreams, your hopes. You may lose a relationship that you have cultivated over the years. All losses are painful. And you will be brought back over and over again to the words of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I know. You memorized them in Vacation Bible School or when you were growing up at the knee of a godly mother and or father, and your lips will move as I quote them. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. All your heart, all your ways. Trust. Trust. Now we have a problem with this because of several things. First of all, we are too blame self-sufficient. We have learned how to get ourselves out of jams rather than acknowledging the jam has very well been either directed or permitted by our sovereign God to teach us. And by not trusting him, we short-circuit the test and go our own way, getting ourselves out of our own mess. We're too self-sufficient. Another reason we fail this test is because we're too quick to call on others. We have a lot of very capable friends. As life unfolds and you leave this school and you're involved in your church, your work of ministry, your realm of responsibility, you'll meet other people. Many of them much smarter than you are. Most of them richer than you are. Better connected than you are. And some of them will become good friends. And they will become your crutch. They have connections. And when you're up against it, they'll get you through it. Another reason we don't trust is because we feel distant from the God of heaven. Don't feel too guilty about that. So did Job, as godly as he was. And yet Job said, in the midst of all of the loss, though he slay me, I will trust in him. Though he take me off this earth, in the process, I leave trusting him. I will trust him. The fourth reason I would name is that we have cultivated the bad habit of worry. Many of you are much better at worrying than you are at trusting. If you were to put together a worry list, it would outrun your prayer list. And you're worried right now about something. Most likely, it's related to something about your schoolwork. Some course, some class, some test, or maybe your finances. You don't have enough money. I'll give you a word of encouragement. You'll never have enough money. So you're worried now, you're getting good at it, so you can carry that with you when you graduate, because you won't have enough money then. So you're worried about that. And you do not trust God. See how practical it is? And if you think you're going to outgrow the problem, take it from this old guy today, you won't ever outgrow it. It's like lust. You never outgrow lust. You just learn to fake it. I remember attending a Navigator conference when Lawrence Sanney was president. We were at Glen Eyrie, and they had a returned missionary, I think 87, 88-year-old gentleman, who Lauren brought up to the platform, and he's a longtime navigator. And Lauren said, "Tell me, Dr. So-and-so, when did you conquer lust?" The old man said, "Well, Lauren, hasn't happened yet." You'll never conquer worry. It's part of the flesh. You want to, but the only way you will get through it so that you will learn from the test is to trust. To trust. To put the worry on hold, to set it aside, deliberately shoving it away and saying, "God, at this moment, I rest in you and you alone." If you're married, "God, help my spouse and me to trust you, to lean on you, to wait on you, to listen to you, to endure the test with you." I put together a quick list of things that reveal how little we trust. When you choose to worry, you do not trust. When you try to fix what is impossible, you do not trust. When you hurry ahead and don't wait for the Lord to move and to change, you do not trust. When you lie awake twisting and turning at night, you do not trust. When you doubt biblical principles and promises that are right here in the book you love and study, you do not trust. When you turn to others first for help, you do not trust. When you listen to human counsel and give a higher priority to that than the principles you have just learned, you do not trust. When you manipulate and maneuver situations, you do not trust. When you step in and take charge without praying and being led by the Spirit of God, you do not trust. When you cling to others in order to feel secure and needed and loved, you do not trust. The list goes on and on. See how easy it is to live in the flesh, how easy it is to disobey. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Wouldn't it be a great project over the Christmas season this year to think through ways that you can begin to trust God regardless? Hopefully it'll be a project that you and a good friend or you and your mate can enter together. What is it we do that keep us from trusting God? And how can we break that habit and watch God break through in ways that we would never have expected? Cynthia and I have a longtime friend who was raised with four brothers in Southwest Texas. We were raised on a very poor ranch, They eked out a living. One of the brothers wound up getting into Baylor, going on to UCLA Law School and earning his degree in law, and has since become a very fine attorney in the Southern California area. We've been friends since the mid-1970s. One of his four brothers stayed at the ranch and developed it, cultivated it. The other brothers moved away, as did our friend. And the one who stayed, along with his wife, really turned the ranch into something much more successful. Grew crops that worked, got cattle, bred them, sold them, little by little, kind of got on their feet, and finally became pretty much financially stable. Then the fires of 2011 across Texas swept through their area. And they came to that ranch. By now they knew they would lose all the cattle. They simply opened the gate, and amazingly those animals know where to go. Usually know where to go to find shelter and safety. And they fled. Hundreds of them. And they barely left, unable to get anything, much of anything in their pickup, and they drove away. Came back a number of days later when allowed to enter this territory, and everything was melted. Everything. Even the metal roof on the shed, on the barn, had melted down and sort of peeled its way over, and what it landed on, it kind of was that metal profile. It's everything is lost. All possessions, all pictures, thankfully no lives. Strangely, the cattle got back and were clustered around in a herd around an enormous oak tree, and they were able to get them back. Of course, the fence had burned, so that has to be rebuilt. And they said to one another, we realize at that moment our faith would either kick into action or we would move far away from the God we had loved and served. They chose the former. They determined they would rebuild. They're in the process right now. Living with a brother, putting house and home back together, having lost it all. And the Lord taught me through my shameful response, He'll win this battle. Trust Him. Trust me. Trust God. Just to rest upon His promises. Just to know. Thus saith the Lord. Trust God.
No warm-up period, so we're going to get right to it, shall we? And again, we salute all of you here at the City of Refuge, Elder Joey, to all of the ministers and friends. We bless the Lord for you. I want you to open with me very quickly in your Bibles to the Gospel as Matthew records it. The Gospel as Matthew records it, chapter number 24. The Gospel as Matthew records it, chapter number 24. I'm going to begin the reading of the Word of God at verse number 3. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 3. And if you want to get slightly ahead of me, you can also go to Psalm 91. I'm probably going to get right through there before it's over. And then if you really want to be ahead of the game, you might go to Proverbs 18:10. We may get to all of that before it is over. But I'm going to begin here at Matthew 24 and verse number 3. And when you are there, say amen. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 3, and it says, "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Before I read any further, let me remind you here that three questions were asked. And so Jesus' response is to all three of those questions, not to one of them in particular. They said, when will these things be? In other words, he had just said some things to them that were coming. They said, when is this going to happen, number one? What will be the sign of your coming, number two? And what will be the sign of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Nudge your neighbor and say, don't be scared, don't be scared, don't be scared. Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. Nudge your other neighbor, the one you don't talk to as much, and say, see that you are not troubled. See that you are not troubled. For all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and coronaviruses. And earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And many will be offended. That word literally, the word offended there is the word scandalon, from which we get our English word scandal. It means many will be trapped. Trapped in what? Trapped in religious tradition. And in systems that don't produce any power or results. Many will be trapped or offended. Are you still here? And will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false witnesses will rise up and deceive many. False prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom. Everybody say, gospel of the kingdom. Say it again. One more time. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. It is verse 14 that I wanted to focus on, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Look at your neighbor, grab their hand real tightly, and say these words, and look them squarely in the eye, and tell them, time now to produce the evidence. Look at your other neighbor and say these words to them. Say, time now to produce the evidence. It is an interesting thing, and I will not be very long before you. It's an interesting thing as we look at the world around us and as we look at the things that are happening in the world and in its systems. It is an interesting thing to notice that the things that Jesus articulated would be happening are happening now. They have been happening since he spoke them, but they are happening now in greater propensity and with greater intensity. One of the things that Jesus said would occur as the end approaches is he said not only these things, but he said there would be distress of nations with perplexity. In other words, he said there would be challenges that would begin to arise in the systems of the world, in the nations, among the ethnic groups, among governments. But not only would there be challenges, He said there will be challenges with perplexity. In other words, there will be dilemmas. There will be challenges that seemingly have no solutions. There will be difficulties that seemingly have no resolve. And no matter how educated or erudite or how elevated consciousness and intellect may be, it will seem that there are no solutions to certain things. Grab your neighbor's hand. Say, these are the days in which we're living. These are the days in which we're living. And although things have always been slightly perplexing and slightly difficult, they are getting more difficult and more intense now. And we are seeing the various things that Jesus prophetically declared coming to pass and coming to pass now with greater intensity. And it is interesting that as these things begin to occur, the various leaders in various areas of the world construct are beginning to look for answers and finding that they do not have the answers to the situations. Now, as a child of God, as a new creation in Christ Jesus, this should not surprise you. Look at your neighbor and say, you should not be shaken by this. Why? Because Jesus, our master, told us these things would happen. And so when famines and pestilences like the coronavirus begin to escalate, people are getting nervous. They're selling out a hand sanitizer, and everybody now wants a mask, and I'm flying, and people asking me, aren't you nervous? No, I'm not nervous. I'm not nervous because I'm a part of the witness protection program. But ain't nobody saying nothing. Nobody's saying anything to me, and I'm in another dimension and in another area. Now Jesus said that these things would happen, and while everyone is looking at what's going to happen next and what's going to take place next, now is the time for the child of God, the new creation in Christ Jesus, the one who believes in the blood of Jesus and the power and the integrity of the word of God, to stand up and be counted and let people know, I am not scared, I am not afraid, and I am not going to tuck my tail and run. Now is the time for the believer in Christ Jesus to stand up and give evidence to the fact that the God that we say we serve is real, and there is a difference and a distinction between those that believe his word and those that don't. Somebody say amen to this. One of the things about reading the word of God is that the word of God gives us insight into the plans of God and the ways by which God accomplishes those plans. If you look at what God did with the children of Israel just before he brought them out of the bondage of Egypt, and you know the story, there were 10 plagues. It's very interesting that when they came against the children of Egypt, they called them plagues, but God said he was going to work wonders. It's very interesting. When you look at Exodus 3, God said, I'm going to work wonders against Pharaoh. But when the wonders began to manifest, the children of Israel called them plagues. Grab your neighbor's hand and say, one man's plague is another man's wonder. You have to understand this. See, it depends on which side of the covenant you're on. What looks like a destruction to the world is actually supposed to be an empowerment to you. The Bible declares that before God took the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt, it says there was darkness in Egypt, but light in the land of Goshen. It wasn't whether the sun was shining or not. It was which side of the covenant you're on. And while other people are experiencing darkness, you and I are supposed to be experiencing the glorious light of the children of God, because we are not trusting in the systems of this world, but in the word of God. Touch three people and say, I'm trusting the word. What about you? I'm trusting the word. What about you? And so Jesus said, please get it, because there is a context in which this occurs, or as your pastor would say, a situation created for the purpose of revelation. In other words, God will allow circumstances to get around so the light shines. Now, this is one of the reasons why, grab your neighbor's hand, squeeze it tight, and tell him he's talking to you. Don't make him come down there. He's talking to you. This is one of the reasons why, if you have noticed, you have noticed that the preaching of the gospel is changing a bit. I don't know if you've noticed that. I don't know. The emphasis of what is being preached and articulated from pulpits is changing a bit. And it's not because just of a change in the weather or in the atmosphere. It is because the Spirit of God is causing the church to get back to the basic principles and the integrity of the word, because a lot of this stuff we're preaching isn't working. Ain't nobody saying nothing to me. And we now have a generation of people who are not interested in our religiosity or our traditionalism. They want the thing to work. They're like cats with a gun. Where do you shoot this? How does this work? I'm not interested in all your tradition, all of your religion. I'm not interested in that. I want something that works. If it works, show it to me. And that is why one of the things that Jesus said, nudge your neighbor and say, he's working here, he's working. That's why one of the things that Jesus said would begin to happen as these various things began to take place. He said, there's going to have to be a shift, watch this, into the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Lay your hand on your brother, lay your hand on your sister, say, pay attention now, pay attention. Notice what Jesus said. He didn't just say, and this gospel shall be preached. He didn't just say, and this gospel of salvation shall be preached. He said, and this gospel of the kingdom. Yeah. Touch three people and say, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. Now, what is the difference between the traditional gospel that we have preached and the gospel of the kingdom? And don't get me wrong, you must be born again. You must be born from above, but salvation is not the end of gospel living. You are saved so you can become a child of the kingdom. And the kingdom of God is larger than the church. You didn't hear what I just said. The kingdom of God is bigger than the church. The church is a gathering of kingdom children. But if you study the ministry of Jesus, you will find that Jesus said very little about the church. As a matter of fact, he only mentions his church about 3 times in his ministry. But he is constantly talking about the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is larger than church. Now, Bishop McClendon, what do you mean? The gospel of the kingdom, the good news about the kingdom. What is the kingdom? The Greek word here is the Greek word basileus. It means rule, realm, and royalty. So he says the gospel of the rule of God shall be preached. In other words, there's going to be a shift in proclamation. It's not just going to be about getting saved and getting to heaven. There is going to be an emphasis now on taking territory in the world system, of demonstrating the superiority of the way that you and I live above the way other people live. Grab your neighbor's hand, tell them time to produce some evidence. I said, look at your neighbor, say, time to produce some evidence. The word kingdom, it means the rule of God. How does God rule? He rules by his word, and he rules by his anointing. He rules by his spirit. So children of the kingdom are not just children who go to church. They are children who have learned how to use the word of God and operate the principles that release the anointing of God. Touch your neighbor and say, it's an anointing matter now. Tell them it's a word matter now. It's not a church attendance matter now. Because you can go to church and die with the rest of them. Ain't nobody saying nothing to me. Now you're going to have to stand on the word of God. Touch three people and say, you better get some word in you, baby. You better get... No, look at your neighbor. You better get some word in you. You better know how to speak up and say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord. Sit down. I'm almost done. Look at your neighbor. Say, you got to work the word. You got to. He says this gospel of the kingdom. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is the realm of God. Now, because we're a democracy, we don't really understand realm. If you lived in Great Britain, you would understand that the Queen has a realm. The realm is the territory over which a sovereign presides. You didn't hear what I just said. It's the territory over which a sovereign presides. So all of the lands that are under the dominion of Great Britain are called the realm of the Queen. They are a part of the Commonwealth of Great Britain. See, Jesus came to expand his realm. No, you didn't get what I just said. He came to expand his realm beyond the city of refuge and beyond the place of grace and beyond the church of God in Christ and beyond First Baptist. He's looking for some people he can deploy out there in the systems of the world who will raise a standard and demonstrate the integrity of the word. So he says what's going to happen while this darkness begins and while coronaviruses and things begin to escalate. He said there's going to be a group of people who begin to demonstrate the gospel of the kingdom. Yeah. That the gospel actually has power over these things that are happening in the world. And while everybody else is wearing a mask and buying out antiseptic lotion, there'll be a group of people who are trusting the word of God and saying, 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but... Look at your name and say, but it will not come near. See, some of y'all are afraid to say it. Some of you are afraid to say it. He says, this gospel of the kingdom, watch this, shall be preached or shall be proclaimed, watch this, in all nations. Now, once again, this word nation, it's the Greek word ethnos, from which we get our English word ethnic. It will be proclaimed among every ethnic group. Now here's something that we have not fully grasped. When you got born again, you became another ethnicity. You don't like me, but I got to preach this. Lay your hand on your brother. Lay your hand on your sister. Tell them you became another ethnicity. I know you're black or beige or white or whatever. That's your culture. Grab your neighbor and say, keep your culture. Don't lose your culture. If you clap on 2 and 4, keep clapping on 2 and 4. If you clap on 1 and 3, keep clapping on 1 and 3. If you shout like this, keep up. If you... That's okay. But understand that once you got born again, you became another ethnicity. The Bible calls us a holy nation. The Greek is hagios ethnos, a distinct and separate ethnicity, which means you may be black, you may be white, you may be Asian. Once you came to Christ, you became a part of another ethnicity, an ethnicity that is connected to him. Oh God. And now whether you're black, beige, or striped, it doesn't matter. Because now if you're trusting the word, nobody can keep you down. Nobody can keep you out. Nobody can shut you down. Nobody can keep it away from you. Watch it. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world arrangement as a witness to all nations. This word witness is the Greek word marturion, from which we get our English word martyr. It literally means, watch this, one who is able to produce evidence. You didn't hear what I said. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world in order to produce evidence. It will be evidenced to all people. Now, there are a lot of people are wondering, is everybody going to hear the gospel before Jesus comes? I'm not absolutely sure that every human individual
will hear the gospel preached before Jesus comes again. Here's what I am sure of, that every conscious individual will have knowledge of a people somewhere who are standing on the word of God to the point that when sickness hits everybody else, it doesn't hit them. And when poverty hits everybody else, it doesn't hit them. And when economic downturn hits everybody else, it doesn't hit them. Why? Because they are trusting the word and producing evidence. Lay your hand on your brother. Lay your hand on your sister. Say, now is the time. No, you're not talking strongly enough. Look at your neighbor. Say, now is the time for you to lay hands upon your children before they go to school and say, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now is the time for you to grab your family together and tell them, we will not be afraid of the pestilence that walks at noonday. We will not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day. Touch three people and tell them, you got to say so. No, no, no. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to say so. Look at your other neighbor and say, it's time to produce evidence. See, this is something that the body of Christ now has to understand. You've got to understand that the word of God is not going to come to pass in your life because God said so. Boy, it's quiet in the building. You've got to understand that the word of God is not going to come to pass in your life because God said so. The word of God is going to come to pass in your life when you say what God has said. Ain't nobody saying nothing to the preacher. See, we thought, well, God said it and that settles it. No, God said it and that settles it in heaven. I wish I had some Bible readers. Thy word, O God, is forever settled in. It's not settled on earth. Quiet in the building. It's not settled on earth. It is settled in heaven. In order for that word to be settled on earth, somebody on earth has to say on earth what God said in heaven. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to say so. That's why the Bible says, let the redeemed of the... See, because God's word is settled in heaven, but it's not settled on earth. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, pray, thy kingdom, thy will be on as it. Look at your neighbor and say, because it is settled there, but it's not settled here. So how does God settle his word here? He gets some sons. I wish I had some people I could preach to here. He gets some sons on earth to say on earth what he has said. Now, some of y'all are looking at me gender specific. And you have to understand that the word son in Hebrew has nothing to do with gender. The word son in Hebrew means one with the nature and character of. It has nothing to do with whether you're male or female. So when the Bible says you are a son of God, it's simply saying you have the nature and character of God. It's not talking about your gender. This is why they couldn't stand Jesus when he started saying he was the son of God, because they said, wait a minute, you're saying you have the nature and the character of God. They wanted to crucify him. But my Bible says, beloved, now. Ain't nobody saying nothing to them. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we. My Bible says that the entire creation is groaning, awaiting. where are my Bible readers? Awaiting the manifestation of the... No, wait a minute. When it says the whole creation is groaning and travailing, awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God, it cannot mean that it's waiting for the sons of God to show up. Because the same word also says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. So if we are the sons of God now, and the creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, then that can't mean it's waiting for the sons of God to show up. No, it's waiting for what the sons of God are supposed to produce. It's waiting for what's supposed to come out of the sons of God. It's waiting for the sons of God to speak up. Touch three people and say, he's almost done yelling at you, I promise. So now go to Psalm 91. Go to Psalm 91 and touch your neighbor and say, we're about to settle some things here. Look at your other neighbor and say, coronavirus or any other virus is not coming anywhere near your house. Tell them, not coming anywhere near your children. You don't need to tuck tail and run. Get on a plane and go where you gotta go. Are you there? Watch. Look at this. Psalm 91, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let me break that down to me. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Two different names for God are used in this verse. He that dwells in the secret place of El Elyon. El Elyon is the high and lofty one. The God who is Almighty. And again, he that has a revelation that his God is the Most High God. In other words, there's nothing higher than my God. There's no virus higher than him. No disease higher than him. No circumstance higher than him. No situation higher than him. No vaccination higher than him. No mask higher than him. No antiseptic cleanser higher than him. He that dwelleth in the secret place of El Elyon. Grab your neighbor's hand. Tell him, you got to know now that your God is the Most High God. He that dwells in the secret place of El Elyon, watch this, shall abide under the shadow of El Shaddai. That's what it actually says. In other words, he says, when you know that your God is the Most High God, then you also know that whatever power you need him to work, he will work on your behalf. Touch three people and say, whatever I need, I got it. Look at your neighbor and say, whatever protection I need, I got it. Whatever insulation I need, I got it. Whatever immunization I need, I got it. Whatever protection I need, touch your neighbor and say, I got it, I got it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, watch this, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now watch this, watch it, watch it. And I will say, oh, you didn't, you didn't get it. Look at your neighbor and say, and I will say. No, look at your other neighbor that you don't talk to. Look, tell him, I will say. I will say of the Lord, watch this, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to get this down. Say, you got to know this now. It's too dangerous for you not to know it. Tell them your protection is voice activated. Look at your neighbor and say, your immunization is voice activated. Look at your neighbor and say, your recovery is voice activated. Look at your neighbor and say, your healing is voice activated. Look at your neighbor and say, your prosperity is voice activated. You have to say so. He said, and I will say of the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, time to produce evidence. When everybody else is washing their hands and saying, aren't you afraid of catching anything? She said, no, I have said of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. Look at this. I'm trusting in him. Watch. Look at the rest of this. I'm almost done. Watch. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. In him will I trust. Now this is God's response to the person who just said that. Surely I will deliver you. Look at your neighbor and say, who gets delivered? The church goer? No. The one who said so. Who gets delivered? The praise singer? No. The one who said so. Who gets delivered? The good preacher? No. The one who. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to say so. I will say, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Lay your hand on your brother. Lay your hand on your sister. Tell him you've already been delivered. Just keep saying so. Surely he will deliver you from the perilous pestilence. Look at verse 4. He shall cover you with his feathers. Now wait a minute. Wait. He shall cover you with his feathers. God ain't got no feathers. Touch your neighbor and say, what's up with that? What's up with that feather thing? What? He shall cover you with his feathers. God doesn't have any feathers, but he does have angels.
Hallelujah.
And the Bible says the angels hearken unto the voice of the word of the Lord. So when you speak the word, touch your knees and your angels go on aside. They go to work. They begin to surround you. They begin to work on your behalf. Is anybody listening to me? He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you take refuge. His truth. What is his truth? Thy word is. So his word will be your shield. I wish I had some people who could see with me. Whenever you speak the word begins to build a hedge of protection around you. The virus has to come through the word in order to get to you, and it can't get to you.
Hallelujah.
And under his wings shall you take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Look at verse number 5. You shall not be afraid. Lay your hand on your brother. Lay your hand on your sister. Tell him you shall not be afraid. Say, I bind fear out of your life right now. I take authority over the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a... Watch this. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness. They don't know how to fix it. They don't know how to protect you from it. They don't know how to vaccinate you. But you shall not be afraid, even if they don't have the answer. God has the answer. Verse number 7, 1,000 may fall at your side. I wish I had some people who would say, he said you can see them falling left and right and just keep on walking through it, saying, I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm trusting in God. 1,000 may fall at your side. 10,000. At your right hand. Mm-hmm. But it shall. I need to hear somebody say, but it. Come near. But it shall not come near me. See, somebody said, child, you better be careful. You better not say that. No. You better say it. See, that's what the enemy wants you. He wants religion. Now, child, you better not say that. No, you better say so. Watch it. I'm almost done. Lay your hand on your brother. Lay your hand on your sister. I'm almost done. The Lord told me to come here and dispense this today. He told me you're not going to go out of here afraid, wondering if they're going to get me. No, it's not getting you. It's not getting anybody near you. But not because you come to church, but because when you're at your house, when you're in your bedroom, yeah, when you're in the kitchen, when you're in the car, when you're riding the bus, you're saying 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. He said, only with your eyes shall you look on CNN, Fox News, and they tell you where it is. Where that now? Where that now? Where that? It's around the block. Come on, smile. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm in the witness protection program. You got to understand, I'm in. Watch. It will not come near you. Watch this. Only with your eyes shall you see the destruction of the wicked. Watch this. Look at verse 9. Because you have made. Wait. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Because you have made, wait a minute. When did you make the Lord your refuge? When you said. You didn't hear what I just. When did you make the Lord your refuge? The moment you said, he is my refuge, you made him. See, this is why people come to church. And see, because we love everybody, we give everybody who comes to church credit for doing the word. But there's a lot of folks who just come to church, but they don't speak the word at home. They don't speak the word on the bus. When sickness comes, they don't say, he was wounded for my transgression. No. They just get an aspirin and hope for the best. No. Look at your neighbor and say, time to produce some evidence now. Because coming to church ain't going to keep you from this. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to come here. No. Singing in the choir ain't going to keep you from this. Being on the elder board and being a deacon ain't going to. No. You're going to have to say. Look at your neighbor and say, when nobody's listening, God's listening. When you can't find a prayer partner, you can just lift your voice and say it. Watch this. He said, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High. Watch this. I'm done. Your dwelling place. Lay your hand on your brother. Lay your hand on your sister. And say, no evil shall befall you. No. Say it. Lay your hand. Say, no evil shall befall you. Look at them. Say, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling.
Hallelujah.
Keep your hand on them. Say, he has given his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Meaning wherever you got to go on. Whatever you got to do, go do it. Whatever you have to be, go be there. Whatever you got to stand and be a witness, go be there. You can walk right in the middle of viral infected people. Lay your hands on them. Pray in the name of Jesus. Are you there? I'm going to have you pray for one another in a minute. Keep your hand on somebody. I got one more verse to leave you, then I'm going to pray. Proverbs 18 and verse number 10 says, the name
of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. I feel the Holy Ghost here. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous, he didn't say the flawless, he said the righteous. You've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus, not by what you do. And the righteous run in and are saved. I was praying, Elder Joey, a little while ago, and I was reading this, and I said, God, how do you run into a name? How do you run into a name? He said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in. And I said, God, how do you run in to a name? He said, didn't I tell you that you are to enter into my gates with thanksgiving and into my courts with praise, that you are to be thankful unto me and to bless my holy. He said, then didn't I also tell you that I inhabit the praise of my people? I said, yes, sir. He said, so here's how you run into a name. You lift up your hands in your bedroom. You lift up your hands in your kitchen. You lift up your hands in your living room. And you say, you are Jehovah Rapha. That's your name. You are the Lord, my physician healer. I bless you that you're my healer all day long. I bless you that you're surrounding me. He said, whenever you praise me, you're running into my name, because I inhabit the praises of my people. And when you praise me for being your healer, the healer shows up. When you praise me for being your healer, the healer shows up. Look at your neighbor, say, run into the name, baby. Run into the name. Look at your neighbor, say, run into the name. Run. Say, you don't need anybody to help you. You can do it in the bedroom. You can do it in the bathroom. You can do it on the bus. You can do it on the 405. You can do it on the train. You can. Look at your neighbor. Say, time to produce evidence. Lay your hand on your brother. Lay your hand on your sister. On the right hand or on the left. Lay your hand on them. If you pray in the Spirit, I want you to take 60 seconds and pray in the Holy Ghost with me. Can you do it? If you pray in the understanding, then go ahead and pray in the understanding. I didn't come to wow you. You got a great preacher. I came to dispense an anointing. I came to release something in the atmosphere. I came to eject the spirit of fear and tell you no virus is coming anywhere near you. You are a child of the King, and you are going to produce evidence. And when it hits the right and the left and skips your house, people will know that your God is God. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on. Shiba resandele muta. Shiba resandele ma kesete. Shiba resandele ma. Ya, ya, ya. Eshando robo kasete. Vandele bo shatala mozo. Shandala mama mama ko. Shandele bo sa. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, stand to your feet all over this building.
We give you all.
Stand to your feet everywhere. We worship, we worship.
We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy.
I need some people to lift their hands, lift their voices,
we give
and begin
you
to bless the name Jehovah Rapha. Begin to declare him your healer, your protection.
You are worthy.
hands before the Lord. Lift them. Lift them. Come on, lift them, lift them, lift them. If you pray in the Spirit, just begin to pray in the Spirit. That's right. That is. If you worship in the Spirit, just begin to worship in the Spirit. I am telling you, a hedge of protection is being erected around you right now as you worship. Lift your hands and lift your voices. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over your people and I declare your word over them, that this will be a season where we shall manifest evidence, where it shall be clear to those who believe and those who don't believe that this Jesus is real, that he does see about his own, that there is protection under the shadow of the Almighty. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I remind you about what Satan said when he came to mess with Job. He said, God, you put a hedge around him, around his family, around his household, around everything he has on every side, and I can't get to it. I declare in the name of Jesus, the hedge of protection surrounds you, your household, your family, your business, your loved ones, and all that you have on every side. I declare to you in the name of Jesus, if you will just sit there in your bedroom and say so, if you'll just stand there in your living room and say so, you get the word of God in your mouth and watch him perform his word over your life. I declare to you in the name of Jesus, no virus shall come near your household. And I speak in Jesus' name right now. If any of you have friends or family or loved ones that are being affected, I send the word of God to that situation. I need some believers in here who will agree with me. You go lay your hands on them, you new creation. You believer, you. In the name of Jesus. Lay your lay your hands upon yourself. Lord, you are welcome in this place.
Thank you.
Lord, you are
welcome in this place.
Have your way.
Have your way.
Lay your hand on yourself. Say, Lord, you are welcome.
Lord, you are welcome
in this place.
In this place.
Lord, you are welcome.
Lord, you are welcome.
See, your body
in this place
is the temple of the Holy
Lord,
Ghost.
Lord, you are welcome.
And the Spirit of God
in
dwells in you.
Have your way.
Say, Lord, you are welcome.
Lord, you are welcome
in this place.
In this place.
Lord, you're welcome.
Lord, you are welcome
in this place.
In this place.
Lord, you.
Lord, you are welcome in this place.
Have your way.
Have your way.
Say, heal and deliver.
Lord,
send your anointing.
your hands upon your own body. Now, my Father, I've done what you instructed. I have ministered what you directed. And I leave the results to you. I thank you that your people have been edified, strengthened, protected, illuminated, delivered. I bless you in advance for the results that your people shall get by reason of the integrity of your word. The children of the Most High, I need you to lay your hands upon yourself. I came here at the request of my brother, your bishop, and he didn't tell me what to do, what not to do. He just said, Mac, I need you. And I asked the Lord, I said, well, what do you want me to do? He told me what to do. And then he said to me to do this. And so I'm going to speak to you now. And I need you to hear me. No game, no gimmick. I need you to understand and hear the word of God. And what I'm getting ready to do here, I want you to please understand, this is not for me, has nothing to do with me. This will stay in this house. This is for this house. I'm not receiving anything for coming here. I came because my brother asked. And I came because my father told me that I was to come here and release this grace. So I want you to lay your hands upon yourself. The Bible says, I believe it is in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus met some lepers. It was a disease for which there was no cure in that day. The Bible says that they came toward him. And Jesus looked at them and said, go your way and show yourself to the priest. And he said, and take with you the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony. Everybody say, as a testimony. As a testimony to them. Now, if you don't know the old covenant law, in order to be pronounced clean of leprosy, you had to go and show yourself to the priest before you could go back into the society. And the priest had to declare you clean. This is recorded in Leviticus chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, or 14, Leviticus 14, 4 through 14. And so I want you to get what Jesus says. He says, go and show yourself to the priest and take with you the offering that Moses commanded. They had to take an offering to the priest. And when they gave the offering to the priest then would examine them and make sure that there was no leprosy. And then they could go back into the community. So get it. Jesus is telling them, before you're declared clean, before your body is changed, get the offering by faith as a thanksgiving. And the Bible says, watch this, as they went, they were healed. As they went, why? Because the moment they took the seed, they were saying, I believe I'm already healed. I believe I'm protected. I believe. Now, I want you to get this. In the new covenant, you and I don't give to God to get him to do anything. He has already done everything he has to do. He's healed us. He's delivered us. We don't give to get God to do anything. In the new covenant, our giving is an expression of thanks for what God has already done. I waited,
because, you know, people, you shouldn't have did that, this and that. Honey, nothing happened. Why? I'm dwelling in a secret place. I'm abiding. He's in me. And if he in me and I'm in him, I'm good to go. Yeah, I've been some places. I don't just stay in all the time. I have to go somewhere, to the oral surgeon, to the this place, to that place. I haven't been to Walmart in a very long time, but when I have to go in there, I go in Walmart. A friend of mine, he had, I don't know if you call it MoneyGram, Walmart, whatever. He had sent me some money, and I couldn't get it online. I had to go in Walmart. I went right on in there, got what I needed to get, my money, and I came on out of there. Mm-hmm. No problems. And I thank God, because if we're dwelling in him and we're watching as well as praying, you don't want to be a fool now. You don't want to be a fool. But you're watching as well as praying, and you're careful. My granddaughter, the one with Down syndrome, I asked her mother, I said, well, where did she get that from? She said the baby, her niece, my grandson's daughter, my great-grand, brought it home from daycare and gave it to her. But I want to share this. Cover your house. Cover your house. Cover your children. Cover your grandchildren. And I heard him say something that works real well for me. This is what worked with me. I said so. Power of life and death in your tongue, say so. I said no calamity shall come nigh my dwelling. No COVID, no nothing else. Yeah. So I'm thankful unto the Lord that his word hold true if we put it into effect, if we apply his word and mean it, believe it. I'm telling you, the word will do the work for us. Yes, it will. I'm a living witness. The studio is open if there's someone have something they would like to say this morning. Feel free to press that number one and come in. I wanted to tease Sister Spinner, because I looked and I seen the hand raised and the light on. I'm like, Sister Spinner is raising a hand. That's rare. So I text. I said, you have your hand raised to say something. She said, no, ma'am. I had to laugh, because every now and then it'll do it. Sion Dot. And a couple of other people, it just, the light came on, and I don't know if they moved it. And see, I was nowhere near my phone. I was nowhere near the phone. But it could be technology. It could just be technology. But we thank God today he's for us. And if he's for us, he's more than the whole world against us. And we're grateful unto him. And so I wanted to share that today, along with the change. Change is good, but what kind of change? We got to be careful of the changes that we accept. Because as the people of God, we don't want to just accept any old thing. And we want to make sure it's according to the word of God, because he honors his word. Yeah. Hallelujah. So we're grateful unto him. I have a request this morning, another one or two, but I know I'm going to get to this one today, and I want to play it. And when we come back, the studio is open. Feel free to press that number one and come in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the name of that one, is My God. And it's featuring Mr. Talkbox. Yeah, so if you want to listen to it over on YouTube or find it, you know, you can. My God, featuring Mr. Talkbox. Hallelujah. All right, Sister Jerry, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Good morning, Sister Barbara. I am well. How about yourself?
I am blessed.
Yes, yes. I've been trying to feel under the weather a little bit, but I'm okay. You know, I got this little cold, and I've just been feeling under the weather a little bit, just a little bit. Because I said, I'm not sick. No, I don't declare these things upon myself. You are what you say you are. So I'm not sick. I'm just a little under the weather. The weather keeps changing. It's hot. It's cold. It's cold. It's hot. Oh, that's gracious. But whatever it is, it's good. All things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. Everything we're facing in this time in our life is for, as they used to say at work, Jerry, we got to go through some training process. We're going in a merger. God is merging us into something new, something better. So I'm not sick. I'm just a little under the training process.
Mm-hmm.
And the weather, I mean, the word was good today.
Mm-hmm.
They may come at you, but they'll fall at your feet and you'll walk through it. I remember talking to somebody about,
mm-hmm,
the people didn't ask for the leprosy, but they asked God for the healing of it. Some people don't ask for what they have, but they run to God to get healed from it.
Mm-hmm.
So today I'm seeking after God not to do what I want them, have his way. Have your way, Holy Ghost. If I'm supposed to be a little on the weather, let me be a little on the weather. If I'm supposed to be where I'm at, let it be what it is. I'm not asking for anything, but God will be done.
Yes.
I woke up this morning at 3 o'clock this morning. I couldn't go back to sleep. Then at 5 minutes to 6, I dozed off to sleep. I said, oh, no, I know what this is about. I got up, went in the kitchen, got me a cold glass of water, and I said, you know, I'm just in a training process. Many want what many people have, but they don't want to go through what others have gone through to have it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have what I got if you haven't gone through what I've gone through.
Amen.
My sister came at me like a light of angel yesterday. Happy Valentine's, sis. I'm like, oh, God, I know she's on something. About 3 hours later, she called me. Oh, sis, I'm talking to you. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay. Let me play with it. Just Lord, guide me. I said, oh, baby, I'm so sorry. What can I do? I ran out of gas. I'm like, oh, my God. Now, who drives from the north side all the way to Ponte Vedra if your tank is halfway empty or you almost out of gas? Who does these things? Not my sister. She's too smart for this. I said, oh, man. Man, I got $6 myself. All I got is $6. I tell you what, I got $6.13. I know $6 won't get you much gas, but I'll give you my $6. Oh, no, sis, don't give me your last. Oh, baby, you're my sister. See, it pays to watch TV sometimes because when the drug dealers are in bed together, they say they family, but they'll turn around and kill you. So I said, oh, sis, we're family. I'll cash out for you the cash out. Oh, you got cash out, sis? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I said, our brother taught me how to use cash out. Oh, God. That's all you got is $6? That's all I can give you is $6. I never said that's all I had. I said, you have been so instrumental to me, praying with me and helping me come through whatever I'm going through, so here. Did you get the $6? Yeah, thanks, sis. She never called and let me know she got home. She never said, I made it all right. She tried to tell me she went way to Pontevedra to get a prescription for her chemo. Six pills. So she gave me an idea to give her $6, a dollar for prepito. I mean, you know. In this season, God is teaching me when, how, and where. The gullible Jerry that says, oh, my God, okay. Here, take all my money. Take my last. A girl used to work for me. Her son was in trouble. I said, oh, God, I got $10 in me. All I have is $10, and that was the truth. She was willing to take my last $10. And then my sister Barbara said, hold up, Jerry, hold up. Wait a minute, my stupid. Lord, I thank you. In the end, God revealed she had $67. I only had $10, and she was willing to take it. People will take your last if you allow it. Seek God before you start doing anything. My God. So that was a great lesson, because when the lesson came around yesterday, I didn't give her my last, but I didn't say I gave her my last. I say I have $6 I can give you. Watch as well as listen to what people tell you. You're better off waiting for God to tell you what to do. It's just me and Calvin living here on one check. But everyone seemed to think we balling over here. We're doing good. I looked down at my pocketbook last night when I woke up. I said, look, I have money in my pocketbook. I have roll coin over there. And I'm doing great, God. No, I don't have T-bone and filet mignon and caviar. No. But I do have enough to sustain what I need. So today, thanks for the message, Sister Barbara. I've been a little quiet because, like I said, going through a training process. And sometimes when you're in training, even as well as you know the job, it becomes difficult. I was on the job for 36 years. And each time I went through training, it was very, very difficult. I haven't been with God this long, so I know I got to go through something before I can get to where he's trying to take me. I got to go through some training. I'm not ready to be where you at, Sister Barbara. I haven't gone through everything you've gone through, striving for the high calling each day. Every day I'm trying. Some days I fall down. But I've learned how to get back up. I don't sit here and feel sorry for myself. I'm like Calvin. He's starting to open his eyes and stare at me and smile. And I say, Calvin, are you worried about the lights? He's looking at me like, no. I said, are you worried about if we have enough money to pay our bills? He looked at me and said, no. I said, okay. I said, what if we don't have enough food to eat? Are you worried about that? I said, because you know you like to eat. He said, no. He said, here's your water. Like, what's wrong with you? So sometimes having too much knowledge of what's going on around you, it's the devil's workshop. Why worry about what you have no control over? Let go and let God. So good morning, Sister Barbara. Thanks for the message. No, I haven't been calling you as much because God told me to stop. I can't run to Barbara for what I need.
I run the Bible for the teacher. Right now, I'm in communion with God and fasting and enjoying my training. This is a hard training I'm going through, Barbara, okay? The lesson is tough. These are some tough lessons. But I'm better off learning these lessons now than later. Love you very much. Good morning, Brother Louie. Barbara hasn't talked much about food today. She's very serious. And Barbara, I am praying for you always. Always praying for you. I pray constantly for people that don't even know I'm praying for them. I pray for Nikki. I'm praying for Sister Sherry, but I know her hip hurts, but she gets up and keep going anyways. I pray for Brother Frank. I'm not facing his challenges. I pray for Brother Anthony and Sister Rita. We all have made mistakes, but God has forgiven us all for every mistake we've made. And sooner or later, it's going to turn in our favor. It's already in my favor. I don't care. I'm like Calvin. Calvin, are you worried about the lights? No. What about something to eat? You worried about that? No. I said, what you want to eat today then? Order some seafood. I said, Calvin, didn't I just tell you our money is low and our money is funny and change is strange? I want fish and shrimp, fries, and applesauce, okay? It's like, lady, what you talking about? God said we can have what we want. Now it's time for me to be like the sermon I heard yesterday. It's time for Peter to walk out on the water. He first got to get out the boat in order to get to Jesus. So for Jesus to catch me, I got to get out the boat and start coming towards you. I don't care what I'm looking at.
I'm still on the air.
I don't care what it looked like. It's not what it looked like. I'm blessed and highly favored.
Okay.
If I was supposed to be dead, I would have been dead at 4 years old. If I was supposed to be dead, I would have been dead at 47. I'd have been dead at 59. So whatever I'm in now, I'm just a little under the weather. Because the seasons are changing and the weather is getting better. Let not your heart be troubled. All right, Sister Barbara, thank you for your time this morning and thank you for the great message. I love everybody.
Amen. God bless you.
Yeah, especially you, Barbara.
God bless you, Brother Louis. Say, hey, Sister Jerry. And you heard that noise, Brother Louis. That's the yard man. He was out there cutting the yard today and making all that noise. But it's all right today in Jesus' name. And no matter what come our way, we're going to hang on. Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to hold on. God's unchangeable hand. We won't let go. No need to let go. He's got all power and he can fix anything that we need to have fixed this morning. Hallelujah. Brother Perry was in and he went back out again. Good morning, Apostle Boatwright. God bless you this morning. And we just thankful for the word. For the word of God is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And it's going to show us the way to go, the right way. The safe way, yeah, when we listen to the word of God. And you know, I tell you, for the past couple of weeks, that's what the Lord has spoken, Psalms 91. And so I'm reading it again today. And many more Psalms, I'm holding on. I'm holding on to the word of God because that word won't fail. Yeah, it's solid. You can't break it up. You can't cut it up. You can't shoot it up, stab it up. The word of God. just 100% solid. And it's real, and it's real. It's alive, and what the word says, that's what it will do. It's alive. It's real. Hallelujah. We just have to trust
Hallelujah.
The word. Amen. Is there anyone else have something they would like to say? Good morning, 708. God bless you this morning. Good morning to you, Sister Rose Brown. God bless you over there this morning. And thank you for tuning in. And I'm just happy today. I walk by my flowers on the table and my balloons, and I'm like, ooh, you got gifts. And then my niece called me yesterday, and she said, well, where you want to go for your birthday? What you doing? I said, well, I hadn't planned nothing. Well, tell me where you want to go so we can be making plans. She's got a twin sister. So I said, you know, Red Lobster, it's not as good as it used to be. It's raggedy. I say, but I would like to go to Red Lobster. And because y'all know I cut back on foolishness. And I said, but when I get over there, I said, I want to try them cheese and biscuits and that shrimp scampi. I said, and that may be all I'm able to try. Oh, well, I was bringing birthday cake and yada, yada, yada. Well, bring it on because y'all can enjoy. But I really want to go in Red Lobster. I mean, I have not been to a Red Lobster in, ooh, it's been some years, I can tell you that. Back in the day, my daughter that passed away, her birthday and my birthday the same day. And matter of fact, yeah, she was born on my birthday. And we used to go to Red Lobster every year for lunch. And the one in Jacksonville on Arlington Expressway. And we would go out there and enjoy our lunch. And I would always get the cheese and biscuits and the shrimp scampi. And I might would have them to bring me some fish and shrimp. But I think I'll just go to Red Lobster this year and enjoy myself. Yeah. February 27th, them that want to cash out me a birthday gift, feel free. Feel free. To cash out that gift on over there. But we still working on the Florida Indian River Fruit fundraiser. And we need to get as many of you who can afford it and who really want it. I need you to go ahead and get it if you can, because they're running limit on fruit. It's coming to an end because many more people are doing that fundraiser too. And so these people are out pumping and jumping, and they're selling the fruit. So they're giving out. So if you want to get your fruit, please go to my page on Facebook or Freedom Doors Ministries or Jesus in the Morning page and put your order in for your fruit. The next fundraiser I have, a beautiful blue Jesus in the Morning hoodie, and you can put your name on it, who you are, what you want to say, your out loud expression. Pastor David always called me Jesus Lady. Always called me Jesus Lady. So she ought to say, good morning, Jesus Lady. And sometimes she'd say, all right, Jesus Lady, and throw a shoe on Facebook. So I'm buying me a hoodie, and on the front, it'll have Jesus in the Morning Radio Talk Show and the phone number and the time, you know, 7 a.m. And on the back, I'm going to put Jesus Lady on the back of my hoodie. And for my birthday, I'm going to ask my other niece, the sister to the first twin that, you know, asked me where I want to go. For my birthday, I want her to buy me another hoodie. And it's going to be the Jesus in the Morning blue hoodie. And on the front, I want the regular Jesus in the Morning stuff on the back. And on the front, I just want to put on the front, working for God. Yeah. And I might put working for God full time. And because that let people know some things. Because people read T-shirts. They read writing on hoodies. They read writing on cars. And so you can get your hoodie. And to put what you want on it. Put your name, your expression, what you want people to know, you know, put it on your hoodie. I'll be bringing the price a little later because I have to call over to the same store where the T-shirts will be made for those who order T-shirts. And find out what they're charged to put this on the t-shirt, on the hoodie. But I wanted to bring that to you so that'll be, you know, on your mind later on or whenever you decide to get your hoodie, and I'll be advertising it, and I'm going to make a fundraiser out of it. So, you know, because 2023, I really do want to have that soup, bread, and St. Augustine tour. And for the Jesus in the Morning people, especially those who gave, you know, who bought food or gave a donation or, you know, bought a hoodie or whatever, I would like for it to be for free. And I had said on that fruit, the one that sells the most fruit, you know, share with their families and friends and they buy the most fruit, then I'd like to pay for them a round trip ticket and, you know, bring them in. Everybody else, you pay for your own ticket, your hotel room, but you just come on to eat, you know. And it's free to you. It's free to you. But I'm sure there would be some other people who want to come, and some people in the Jacksonville, St. Augustine's, Lake City, Lake whatever areas, St. Mary's, you know, they may want to come as well. But for the people that are not Jesus in the Morning people and I'm not familiar with you, then, you know, there may be a charge to get in for the food. Because if I don't raise enough money, because I have to raise enough money to pay for everything, the venue, the food, you know, the drinks, all of that, the tour bus. Yeah, and the tour once we get to St. Augustine. So I was trying to raise enough money for that. But nonetheless, if it don't go over well, we tell God thank you and we keep moving. But I think I'll leave the t-shirt and the hoodie out there. And I may put that mug out there, a new Jesus in the Morning mug. Because for that 10-year anniversary, that mug did quite well. And I was, you know, telling a few of my friends, I said, don't drink out the mug now. Save the mug and let it become an antique. Yeah, save the mug. Don't use it. And then if you use it, take it easy with the mug. But it's microwave safe. You don't have to do that. But I, you know, got mine to put up kind of like a souvenir, you know, from Jesus in the Morning. But we thank God, and that's what I should have did. I should have did that hoodie and t-shirt fundraiser, but Indian River, they wanted to partner up, so I did it. And I know, like Brother Lewis said, they have good fruit now, very good sweet fruit. No blemishes on it. They picked the very best to send to their customers. And because we have one in St. Augustine, right? Outside St. Augustine, Brother Lewis, like going towards Palaca or Hastings. And so I've gone over there and gotten the pecan roll before. Got some oranges and different things from there, yeah. On my way back to Jacksonville from Miami, Orlando, Cassandra, wherever I was coming from, yeah. So we thank God for that. Let's do a little quick roll call this morning. Good morning, Sister Dorothy Goodman, Sister Mary Ann. Good morning to you, Sister Rose Brown again, Sister Samoa. Good morning to you, Sister Melody Rose, Sister Angela in California, Sister Laura. Morning, God, baby. Good morning to you, Mr. Mason and Miss Deborah, Alexis, Lachelle, Sister Andrea Spinner, Sister Andrea in Philadelphia, Sister Keisha, Sister Rita, Sister Sion, Sister Diane, again, Sister Jerry, Sister Angela Foot, Sister Anna Lee Foot. God bless you. God bless you. And Sister Kim Hopps, Sister Michelle, Sister Patricia Fluker, Sister Lisa, Sister Yvonne, and Sister and Apostle Claudia Boatwright. Hallelujah. Good morning, sisters. Good morning. God bless you today. God bless you. All day long, all night long. God bless you. Good morning to the main man holding that chat room down over there, Brother Lewis. Good morning to you, Brother Jermaine. And I heard from him yesterday, Brother Jermaine. And our Brother Anthony, Brother D. Brother Mike Hopps, Brother George West Perry. Brother Perry was in there. He left and he came back. Aha, I got to speak to him this morning. Brother Lee Hamilton and Brother Cal. I'm going to play your song today, Brother Cal. Brother Justin Gilmore, Brother Frank, and Brother Marquez Griffin this morning. God bless. Oh, and Pastor David Jackson. I can't forget my buddy. God bless you this morning, brothers. God bless you. And God bless your day. And I pray for you because I know that you're men and it's a lot tougher on you than it is a lot of women because you have more responsibility sometimes. Not all the time because some women have more children than men or more, you know, stuff they have to get done. But we thank God today that he's on our side and with him there's nothing too hard for him to do. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthen us. So we're grateful unto him. We use the stop at their roadside stores. Okay, Brother Lewis. They used to have souvenir shops up and down the highway. They did. Stuckies and all kind of stuff. You're going to Georgia up towards Atlanta. I would stop naked. I would stop to the Stuckies up there and get pecan rolls and orange jelly and peach jelly, all kind of stuff. Yeah. One year I wanted a leather coat. My friend said, if you stop to this one, they got a $20 leather coat and it's real, Barbara. Check it out. I never could find it, y'all. I never could find it. And I think because I didn't take a trip back to Atlanta for a while. And so I never did, you know, bother to look for it after that. I wasn't going back to that area no time soon. Brother Ricky Love up that way and on over into the Carolinas, Aiken. Yeah, I love them pecan rolls. Ooh, Lord, with that nougat in the middle. Yes, sir, Brother Lou. They know what they're doing over there. They know what they were doing. Yeah, those were the days. Those were the days. And good morning again to 708. God bless you. I love to see that area code in there. And I'm just thankful unto the Lord. Hallelujah. For those that he sent our way. And I planned on having some more guest speakers we never had before coming. I'm working on that. And I was going to ask the Pastor Sarah Duncans if she could come, but she worked during the day. And I got to talk to her again because she's got a blog talk show and we're getting together on it. I kind of helped a little bit to get it set up. But we're working on that. And I will continue with the hoodies and the t-shirts. And if y'all want a hoodie or a t-shirt, hit me up and let me know. As they say, contact me, email me, say something to me on Facebook and Messenger. And I'll be more than happy to answer questions. And today, after I talk to the printers, we're going to print on the hoodies and the t-shirts this year. I'm going to get the prices and I'll be able to come back and give you the prices. And if you buy something, even if you buy that Indian River, Florida Indian River fruit, plant it as a seed. Don't just buy it. Plant it, tell the Lord what you want it to do. Lord, I'm going to buy this to support her over there. But God, I'm planting this seed for whatever, whatever. I'm planting this seed so more food will come in my house. I'm planting this seed so my child will be here. I'm planting this seed so there will be no nothing and this and that. Whatever it is you want the seed to do. Assign your seed. Tell your seed what you want it to do. Yeah. And I'm grateful unto him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's faithful. So if no one else have anything to say, I will pray us out this morning. We'll get out maybe 13, 14 minutes earlier. And we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning. Tomorrow I won't be here. I have another oral surgeon appointment tomorrow. So I'll be going over to see him in the morning. And it don't feel swollen or nothing. And I'm going to be doing cold water on it. And hopefully, you know, there will be no swelling when I get that tomorrow. And whatever he's got to do, he's able to go ahead and get it done. And I'll come back not being able to talk for a while, but nonetheless, the work will be done. And then right after that, it heal up a couple of weeks or so. Then I'll be able to get everything done. I want dental wise. Yeah, because it even affect my speech. Yeah. But I'm thankful. God is yet faithful. I'm alive. I'm healthy. I'm safe. Yeah, I'm good. And we give God glory. So let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for all that has been said and done today. Lord, I thank you that you're a keeper. And Father, you don't keep us against our will, but you keep us because we want to be kept by you, Almighty God that have all power. We thank you for your healing power this morning. We thank you that you're the God that healeth us, not only physically, but spiritually, God, and mentally. You heals us. So we ask that you will continue to heal us, oh God. Continue to open up doors and continue to give us wisdom. We want the wisdom of Almighty God. We want to understand your word. We want to understand what's going on. Father, give us wisdom in the name of Jesus. Because if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives liberally and upbraideth not. Help us to understand, God, that the same thing you did for David, you'll do it for us. The same thing you did for Paul, you'll do it for us. Same things you did, Lord, for David, you'll do it for us. And Lord, we want your blessings, but we want to know how to get your blessings and obey you so that you'll pour out upon us. We thank you this morning for all you've done, for what you're doing right now, Father, and what you're going to do. And as we depart this morning, Father, send your healing power. Hallelujah. Father, open doors and make ways for us again. Bless our going out today. Bless our coming in. Again, meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you would open up uncommon blessings for us this week according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Bless as only you can do. Oh, set free today. Set free today. Many are not locked up, but God, they are bound up. Set free. Delivered today, oh God. In the name of Jesus. We thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you for your power that work. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, we ask it all again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, February 15th, 2022, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye and have a blessed day. And we're going to our last song of the morning. And, Bro Cal, I got you. I got you. I'm coming at you with it, Bro Cal.
I come from Memphis, Tennessee. Little small house, big family. 7 kids and I'm the baby. But I'm gone now and I'm like, praise the Lord, cause everything I've been praying for is finally knocking on my door. And it's so, so loud and I'm gonna take it. Ooh. I told y'all I'm gonna make it. And when I make it, I'ma bring the whole.
I told y'all,
and when I make it, I'ma bring the whole.